Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
You know, they count as one. You know, we come back and win tomorrow. The season, you know, the series is even. You know, so I mean, you don't like it. You know, I'm not very happy about it. But I mean, you know, you got to flush this one because you can't bring this one or the last one back, you know, to tomorrow. And so, you know, like I said, you don't like it tonight. You know, but the sun's gonna come up in the morning.
All right, that was Dusty Baker, and that's what I kept telling myself all night last night after sitting through one of the most miserable viewing experiences as a sports fan in recent memory. The Astros losing to the Boston Red Sox last night in Game 3 of the ALCS. The Red Sox take the lead in the series 2-1, and for the second straight game, it was home run derby for the – it was grand slam derby for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
J.D. Martinez doing the honors last night, Seth, as we welcome you in on a Tuesday morning, Payne and Pendergast. 12-3 last night, my friend. Got to flush this one.
It's the first time in Major League Baseball history, which has existed for quite some time, I'm told. Major League Baseball has three centuries, actually.
Yes.
And or at least it spans across three different centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first time in MLB history that three grand slams have been scored by the same team in the same series.
Yeah.
And it didn't even take that many games.
Dude.
In the series. You might say, well, that must have required seven games. Nope. Just three.
Two games and two innings. That's it. Like,
yeah.
Even three games. Like, at the very beginning.
Three games into the series.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. Like they're telling us this record. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, we're in the second inning of the second game right now. Holy smokes. Yeah, the bats for the Red Sox are a problem. The bigger problem right now is this is unsustainable workload for the bullpen. What did we say yesterday, Seth? We need five out of Urquidy, just give us five. And I'll be honest with you, Dusty Baker was catching a lot of heat that I saw on Twitter about him not coming out and getting Urquidy, including our colleague John Lopez. Like, hey, Dusty, get somebody warmed up. As soon as that game looked like it was spinning wildly out of control,
oh yeah,
my thought was just leave Urquidy in for his 90 pitches. If he gives up 11 runs or 5 runs, I don't care. You know what? It's Urquidy's fault at this point that he's in there for the 90 pitches and his ERA is through the roof. Like, leave him in there and eat up some innings, man.
You know what, Ben? Can you pull up Dusty 4? Because Dusty talked about that.
Yeah.
And I'm with you there. I don't know. Like, I would have kept Urquidy in for 150 pitches.
I was surprised he came out and got him. Here is Dusty on the thought process behind going out and getting Urquidy when he got him.
If I go get him in earlier, man, that's going to tax my bullpen even more. You know, we're hoping he could get through that. How much earlier can I get a guy? You know, in the last two games, we've gone to get him like very, very, very early. And that put you still got to fill 8 to 9 innings, you know, with guys that are already taxed. And so, you know, it's kind of like a Groundhog Day, a reoccurring nightmare where you hope to get some innings out of these guys. You hope they can get out of the inning and then take him as far as you can take him. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say go out and get them, but then you gotta place them with somebody that's already taxed.
And the somebody was Yimi Garcia, who seems to be the guy every time. Seth, it's really baseball's evolved into a really interesting thing, especially this time of year where, you know, you're 162 game season and now you're into your second series of the postseason. There's almost like two scoreboards going on at a baseball game. You know what I mean? There's the actual scoreboard of runs being scored by either team, and then there's this ongoing scoreboard over the course of a season, and in this case a series, where you're just tracking the number of pitches each guy is throwing. And Dusty Baker is in a horrible spot right now where he's having to juggle both scoreboards at the same time. He's having to juggle the end results of these games with the sheer taxation of labor on his pitching staff, and his starters have gotten 16 outs in three games so far. There's no good answer right now for the Astros.
Framber had 8 outs, so that was like half of your outs were by one guy.
He's a damn workhorse.
Yeah, Luis Garcia got 3 outs before his knee issue, which he had been suffering through but just didn't want to tell anybody about. He got 3 outs, and then Jose Urquidy with 5 outs. And I made the foolish comment early in the game that, hey, boy, it's nice, it's refreshing that Urquidy's so fast-paced. Sometimes you forget how fast-paced Urquidy is. All these playoff games, almost all of them for the Astros so far, have lasted over 4 hours. So I thought early in that game, like a moron, like, oh, wow, Urquidy's just working through like he always does. We might be out of here in 3 hours.
Not even close.
I don't even know. I don't know how long the game lasted. I ended up watching the Bills-Titans after a while.
Yeah, dude, what does tonight look like for this team? Zach Greinke, as Dusty revealed right after the game, and you and I talked about this yesterday. I mean, I thought this was the heavy favorite. I think the decision had been made already. Dusty was just trying to employ a little bit of gamesmanship. But Greinke is going to be the opener tonight. How much do you hope to get out of Zach Greinke tonight, reasonably?
I'm 3 innings?
Yeah.
Let's say 4. I mean, in September, he came back. When he came back from injury in August, he was going 6 innings. And then all of a sudden, the end of August, he was down to 4 innings. When he came back from injury, he went 5 innings, 4 innings, 2.1 innings.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we got the one inning out of him in the postseason so far. Gosh, I don't know. I guess 3 innings realistically, and then Javier to come in for 3.
Yeah, I think 3.
Could that work?
If you told me sign up for, here's a piece of paper, here's the number of innings Greinke has, you need to sign this blindly. If I then revealed what the number was and it was 3, I'd be like, this was the greatest contract I've ever signed in my life. If they get 3 innings out of Greinke, 3 good innings, that is. Three innings and he gives up 5 runs, then it is what it is. It's probably another loss for the Astros. If you get 3 good innings out of Greinke tonight, Seth, I think you're laughing if you're an Astros fan. Honestly.
So since September 19th, when he threw 68 pitches, he got injured, came back October 3rd, pitched 28 pitches. Then in the playoffs, he pitched 21 pitches.
Yeah,
that's where he's been. And if you could get 40 or 50, Dusty's going to fall into that same trap of, okay, how long do I keep Greinke in? And until we let up the 4th grand slam set a new record in one playoff series.
Yeah, this team's in big trouble, man. I just they're in big trouble, because here's the thing: even if you muck your way through this game tonight, and we know there will be a game 5, even if they lose this, we know there will be a game 5. On paper, you go, well, at least you're back to the part of your pitching staff. At least you're back to the portion of the rotation where you're back at the top again. And you're not trying to piece it together with relievers. You got Framber, you got Odorizzi in game 6, and then I guess Urquidy in game 7. I'm going to assume Garcia is off to the side right now. We'll see. None of these guys have been good. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're back to where you can do something conventional, none of these guys have shown that they can pitch long enough against this Red Sox lineup to where you can do conventional things. So it's tough, man. Tough spot for the squad right now. And it doesn't help that the bats aren't really clicking either. So we're off and running. We should mention Kirby Icehouse again today. The fellas were out there yesterday. They'll be out there again today in advance of game 4 tonight. 7 o'clock start tonight. They'll be there tomorrow, too. There will be a game 5. That'll start at 4 o'clock. Clint Sterner and the show will be live at Kirby Icehouse. So come on out there and join us. We'll talk plenty of Astros today on the show. 713-572-4610. Yesterday afternoon, though, Nick Caserio took care of some business. Quite honestly, that should have been taken care of a long time ago. Why yesterday to cut Whitney Merciless? That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We're an undisciplined team. I'll be very honest with you. From all of us, we all got some type of, you know, accountability in that. We're undisciplined. It's just the truth.
All right, that was Brandon Cooks on Sunday following the Texans' 31-3 loss to the Colts. David Culley met with the media yesterday, and he was asked, do players understand how slim the margin for error is for your team right now?
Not to this point. We haven't understood that. And again, that's my job, to make that point to them and understand that to change the results of what's happening in these ball games, that has to happen. And we're going to get it in practice. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to emphasize in our meetings, keep it over and over again. And that's the only way we end up getting it done. We got to be able to get it changed. And obviously, if it's not getting changed by the guys that are doing the same things again and again, then we'll put somebody else in there to do that.
And that process started yesterday, putting somebody else in there by removing a couple of the guys who just haven't been performing. And for Whitney Merciless, who got let go, well, the report was yesterday he is getting let go. I believe 3 o'clock today is sort of the time frame we're looking at. We know what sometimes happens with this stuff, Seth. It gets floated out there that guys are getting released, and then ultimately maybe a team comes to them with an offer with a late-round draft pick or something like that. We saw that happen with Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
Up in New England recently, the news was they're releasing Stephon Gilmore. Next thing you know, the Carolina Panthers are trading a 6-round pick for him. But yesterday, Whitney Merciless was the big story. Andre Roberts was another one who was let go, who just was doing nothing for this football team except collecting a check. Whitney is the bigger one just in terms of Texans history here, Seth. Look, he was in his 10th season with the team. Very popular player, I guess, with the fan base, but just someone who, honestly, Seth, it's almost like this magic spell came over Whitney the second the pen hit the paper on his 4-year, $54 million contract extension. It's like he aged 20 years as a football player. Like, as soon as he signed that contract extension, he just went into the toilet as a football player.
I think it was a little bit worse, actually, from the Texans' standpoint, because that season, remember, in 2019, Whitney Merciless started off on a tear, looking like he could have been a defensive MVP. I used to do the pregame, and every damn week, Rick would ask me whether Whitney Merciless was going to win the defensive MVP. Yeah, and, you know, after a few games, the luster wore off. And after J.J. Watt got hurt and Whitney didn't get the benefit of J.J. soaking up all the blocks, Whitney didn't produce as much over the second half of that season. That's why it was curious at the time that he had gotten the extension that he did. Because the second half of the season, Whitney wasn't as good as his season sack total would have suggested. And then you're right, it just he turned into a guy that just kind of got old real fast and was serviceable but wasn't making impact plays. The part that bothers me about the whole Whitney scenario this year is that this is one of those situations where the fans and the onlookers were correct. When the Texans reworked Whitney's contract to give him more guaranteed money this year, I think a lot of people said, well, why are you doing that? Why are you doing something that actually gives a guy more security in this environment where you're supposed to be preaching competition. Because Whitney, you know, if you put him in a competition with other guys in the league as he currently plays football, it's not going to be that good. It was the same as like Aaron Colvin a couple of years ago. There was another situation headed into the season where the fans were correct. The onlookers were correct. Everybody was saying, why is Aaron Colvin starting? He shouldn't even be on this football team. And then week one, the Texans lost to the Saints specifically because Aaron Colvin was on your football team. And then he was released the next day. So this is where the rubber meets the road when we start having genuine reason to criticize or critique Nick Caserio. A lot of what Nick Caserio has done so far has been, it's been cleaning up Bill O'Brien's mess. But Shaq Lawson, Whitney Mercilus, these are guys whose contracts were reworked to give them more guaranteed money this year. And then within a few months, you realize, oh, wait a second, there's actually no place for them on this football team.
Yeah.
So that's a point of concern moving forward.
Yeah, I guess, and just for those who are wondering what the cap ramifications are, they're going to get hit with $8 million in dead money this year. This is according to Texans cap. And $7 million in 2022. Whitney Mercilus in 2022 is still going to be on the Texans books for $7 million. Now, look, Seth, as you pointed out, the way they structure the money and things like that, that's on Caserio. The sheer magnitude of the numbers overall, that's an O'Brien thing. So
yeah.
The bottom line is, this was a really expensive, bad contract. And I'm a little sad for Whitney that's what's going to be the lasting memory at the very end was he was an aging player who wasn't worth nearly the money that he was getting paid for a guy who at his peak was, I would say, a pretty solid player. The guy never made a Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? Like it's not like this was a golden parachute for a guy who had four Pro Bowls and let's pay him for past performance. Like Whitney's a nice player at his peak, but overall just kind of an average football player.
But again, though, and that's where Sean, with Lawson, with Cunningham, with Mercilus, these are guys like when Caserio redid those deals and reworked them, that's extra money that you have to pay instead of just releasing them.
Yeah.
Like, that was all. They had to create cap space to sign all of these guys that aren't actually all that good. And
yeah,
the Texans did not spend minimally in free agency. They spent a whole lot of money on volume. And some of what they did was they reworked veteran players' contracts to do that. You end up having to, that ends up hitting you on the cap when you could have just gotten rid of it. Like, they could have noticed, they could have watched film and realized in the spring, oh, wow, Zach Cunningham actually can't cover. Oh, wow, Whitney Mercilus actually isn't as effective as he used to be. Like, these are the things that are concerning me right now, is this is the guy that, you could have taken care of this problem beforehand.
Yeah.
And if culture is so important to you, then why is it okay to cut him now if he's so important for your culture, but it wasn't okay earlier? These are the things that don't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
at all.
I'll give you an answer. I don't know if this is the answer, but I'll give you an answer because you're asking the question. Maybe they thought they get Whitney in, he actually gets some of his mojo back and they can move him to a team. You know what I mean? Like he comes back in and he at least gets to a point where we can flip him, kind of like they did with Roby, where we can flip him for a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick and pick up half his salary and send to somebody else. And it just wasn't the case. It turns out he was shot.
And then in some ways, by the Texans taking on that guaranteed money, that makes him more tradable because his salary wasn't as high.
Yeah.
If you convert some of the sale without getting too complex about all this. Okay. Yeah. I'll buy that. I would have bought it more if they'd actually traded him for something.
Yeah, no, they like a lot of Nick Caserio's risks that he's taken. Not a lot of these risks on the margin, you know, lies day three picks that he's moved for guys and things like that. Not a lot of them are working out right now. You know what I mean? Like we listed all the fifth and sixth round and seventh round picks that have been moved for guys that never even saw the light of day. I think Marcus Cannon is in that category now. They did some maneuvering with some day three picks from Marcus Cannon, whose Texans career, as it turns out, is probably going to be four or five games. And then this, you know, hanging on to Whitney, all these things. And then Andre, look, to me, Andre Roberts is the one, Seth. And for those just getting up, Whitney Mercilus released yesterday. The Texans are going to take massive cap hits for this. And then Andre Roberts let go. Andre Roberts' Texans career is six games. I don't even know if he played in all six of the games that he was on the team for. But he didn't have a single good return that I can think of. The only play that I can remember Andre Roberts making was a fumble that completely flipped the early part of the Browns game. And he's going to get $2.5 million guaranteed. That's the one where I look at, okay, is this an O'Brien thing or is this a Caserio thing? Whitney to me is more of an O'Brien thing. This, like, the Andre Roberts one is like Nick Caserio signed Andre Roberts, brought him in to be the return guy, and it turns out he sucks. And so they've got to pay the guy $2.5 million for six games worth of bad football. You know, like, that's.
Yeah. And these are the things where, look, you know, going into it this year that the team was going to be under the gun. Once Tyrod Taylor got hurt, you knew that it was going to be even tougher. But there are certain things that you can excuse because, hey, this is just a mess. There are other things that you're not going to excuse because, no, this was the focused plan of the Texans this offseason with Nick Caserio, with Jack Easterby, was you're going to sign a guy like Andre Roberts, you know? You're going to sign Cam Johnson, a punter who's disappointed based off of his preseason so far. You're going to... You're going to bring these guys in and then within the first half of the season realize, oh, they're actually awful. Then, or you're going to rework Shaq Lawson's contract and then get rid of him. Rework Whitney Merciless's contract, get rid of him. This is where I'm not feeling confident that we're moving forward in any different direction than we were before. I didn't expect the Texans to be good. I predicted them to win 4 games. This part is not a huge shock. Some of the personnel decisions they're making don't make a whole lot of sense to me right now.
All right, yep, that's good stuff. Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. It's Tuesday, so it's a Ross Tucker day. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins us in about an hour to talk some of the – we'll talk Monday Night Football from last night with him. We'll talk Week 6 of the NFL with Ross Tucker. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, they're back in our lives this weekend. Over-under on their stats, how badly do the former Texans, Hopkins and Watt, crush their former team this weekend statistically? We will predict next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Astros lose last night 12-3 to the Red Sox. We will circle back to the Astros a little later this segment. Whitney Merciless cut, Andre Roberts cut by the Texans. Big story for the Texans going into Week 7 is a little reunion with DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt this weekend. The Arizona Cardinals 6-0, the only undefeated team still left. The funny thing is, Seth, about Hopkins and Watt this season is neither of them have been over the top statistically for either of their teams. J.J. Watt just got his first sack of the season this past week. The point you've made numerous times during the season is that if you watch the Cardinals week to week, Watt has been very effective. It just hasn't been resulting in sacks. He's been very clowny-like. He's winning a lot of pass rushes, but he's not sacking the quarterback very
much. Yeah, he's the highest in ESPN's pass rush win rate percentage or win rate metric, which I don't know. That stat doesn't quite do it for me completely. It doesn't match, not in JJ's case necessarily, but overall it doesn't always match my eyeball test. But JJ's been effective. He's not athletically the guy he used to be. And that's not a shock to anybody, given all the injuries that he's had in his age. In a lot of ways, it looks like in Arizona, he's playing more like a disciplined 3-4 defensive lineman. He's not freelancing, really. He's doing his job, and he's being very effective in it, and he's getting hits and pressures on the quarterback. But I think that it's fair to say the chances of him, you know, having another huge sack year or something probably not that great.
Yeah, although I would say this weekend will probably help. Going.
Oh, yeah, this will be the week he has seven sacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get me wrong. But so he's become much more of a conventionally effective, really effective 3-4 defensive lineman. He's not that ethereal, freakish talent. That
right.
He used to be.
No, that's his brother. TJ Watt now.
Single-handedly winning games now, right?
If you watch the Sunday Night Football game, holy smokes, TJ Watt was amazing. And then meanwhile, Hopkins does not have a 100-yard receiving game yet this year. He's got a bunch of touchdowns, I think 4 or 5 touchdowns maybe. He does not have a 100-yard receiving game yet, and I don't think that has anything to do with where Hopkins is at as a player. They just got a ridiculous number of weapons on that offense between Christian Kirk and A.J. Green, this Rondale Moore that they drafted out of Purdue. They've got so many, and not to mention Kyler Murray with his legs. Like, Kyler Murray can beat you so many different ways. So Hopkins has been, he's been effective for the Cardinals this year. He's got a few highlight plays, but he hasn't been the over-the-top stat monger that I think fantasy owners probably hope for when they spent $50 on him in an auction or something like that. So naturally, Seth, this will be the weekend where Hopkins goes and gets about $150, and J.J. Watt ruins the life of either Jerron Christian or Charlie Heck, one of the two, or maybe somebody inside like Justin McCray.
Or Max Sharping.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a lot of experience versus a young Max Sharping.
Yes.
So usually when JJ goes down inside, he's playing on the left side of the defensive line. So Max Sharping.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be Max. It'll totally be Max Sharping. Oh, that's who it's going to be.
All right.
Son of poor fall. I like Max. Yeah. You know who I keep thinking of, Sean, with JJ? Calais Campbell. Because Calais Campbell's still kicking around out there. He's 35 years old. And he hasn't had huge sack numbers the last couple years, but he's still a very effective football player.
That's a great analogy.
That's where I think JJ might have settled into for these next few years, however long he plays. He's going to be very effective. He'll show up big in a few games, but he's always going to be a presence. That's what he seems like to me right now.
All right, so let me give you a couple over-unders here. Over-under DeAndre Hopkins, 95.5 yards receiving on Sunday.
Okay, the Texans, over.
Yeah. I feel like I say it every week. I feel like that soft spot in Lovie's defense is tailor-made for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, any receiver that just makes his hay over the middle just is going to, I think he's going to feast on this defense. I'm with you. Over on, and I put it at 95.5. Some of you are probably like, why is that sounds low? It's DeAndre Hopkins. Again, he hasn't had a 100-yard receiving game yet this year. There's plenty of weapons on this Arizona Cardinal team. J.J. Watt, over, under, well, let me, combined sacks and tackles for loss. Okay, so add up his sacks and TFLs for this game. Three and a half. Over, under, three and a half.
Yes, since we're adding TFLs to that, I'll do the over on that. Because this offensive line is I've enjoyed listening to Clint talk with shock and disgust about how quickly defensive linemen are getting penetration. It's funny because Clint's the quarterback, and maybe he's thinking he's putting himself in the position of the quarterback trying to hand the ball off as somebody's deep in the backfield. There are certain things, especially if you're lined up in an 8-man front, where you really should be able to get quick penetration in the run game against the zone run. So it's not as bad as it sometimes looks. That's where it's on the offensive line in total and the running backs to figure out and adjust to it. But JJ's going to be one of those defensive linemen a few times.
Yeah, I feel like I would go over on 3.5, and I think Phillip Lindsay could be 4 of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think he could get 4 TFLs on Phillip Lindsay alone on Sunday.
Oh, boy. Phillip Lindsay, boy, God help him if they try that running back jet sweep
jet
yet
sweep.
Again. There's enough film on it now. You've done it enough times. You ran it twice in the first game. He fumbled once. He was successful the second time. But people are on to it.
Dude.
You're not seeing that little water bug, you know, as quick as he is, jittering back and forth and whatnot. His 1.7 yards per carry leading into last week's game wasn't enough to fool those guys.
I feel like if they run the jet sweep, JJ's just going to reach over Max Sharping and grab Phillip Lindsay by the shoulder pads and throw him down with one arm.
His tiny little half.
Yeah. Yes. Someone just texted in. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. I can see JJ lining up over Sharping and saying, "Hi, Max, here's Johnny," in his shining voice.
He's got like, that big brother strength over Max Sharping,
he
too.
He does.
You know?
Yep.
It's not like Max is that he's not like the kid that used to be a nerdy wimp and then he started working out over the summer and came back and started kicking sand in the bully's face himself. No, no. It's still going to be the same old dynamic.
No doubt. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We'll circle back to the Astros here in just a minute. Did you have something you want to hit?
What's the line on this game?
It's up to 17 as of yesterday. It started at 16 and went to 17. Well, man, when I posted it was 16 on Sunday night, you can imagine Twitter's like, should be 30, should be 25, not enough. Let me check. I'm checking right now to see what it is.
The one thing I'd say is that, look, let's not forget, 2 weeks ago, the offense actually put together a pretty good effort versus a pretty good defense in the New England Patriots. So okay. I'm trying not to be so bipolar about everything all the time, because after the Bills game, it felt like the Texans would never score another touchdown. And then they looked all right versus the Patriots. Yeah. And then last week, it looked again like they'd never score another touchdown.
17. The spread is 17 in a game where the over-under is 47. Like, that's a very specific type of game. You know what I mean? Like, when the spread is 17 on a game. That's not good. As far as former Texans, former disrespected Texans, where do Watt and Hopkins line up with some of these guys? We've had, unfortunately, a lot of former Texan greats, former Texan very goods come back, play the Texans, or face the Texans. In this case, it'll be on the road in Arizona. Reliving some of the magic, Seth, do DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt match up to some of these performances? Andre Johnson was probably the most notable one. Andre Johnson, at the time, the greatest player in Texan history when he was let go in 2014, following the 2014 season. Bill O'Brien famously told him, "You're probably only going to get 40 catches if you're with us next year." So they let Andre go. He went to the Colts. And then in week 5, this happened.
Hasselbeck digs in, fakes the give, throws back of the end zone. Caught, Andre Johnson, touchdown Colts. My goodness. His first touchdown in Indianapolis. And the crowd is stunned at NRG Stadium as the Texans are down 9-0.
All right, so there you go. And that was the first of two touchdowns, Seth. 6 catches, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns on a Thursday night game in 2015.
There's one thing, and I think smart coaches know this, smart quarterbacks know this and use it to their advantage. When there is a little personal extra personal motivation for one of your players in a game, it's fun to try to scheme the wound, because it's a way to add novelty to the week. It's not just Andre Johnson that gets excited about that. It's his teammates that get excited about it, too. So it's one extra thing during the week that you're talking about. Like, all right, here's what we're going to do with these SOBs. And then we're going to shut the fans up and do all that. So that part of it with DeAndre Hopkins, I could totally see Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, saying, like, all right, let's really have some fun with this. God. Let's do something. Let's make this the game. Okay, now you said, how do they all rank up? This is where I would rank on the disrespect meter.
Yeah,
I would put DeAndre Hopkins as the top, because he was traded for David Johnson in the second round pick. A fully guaranteed David Johnson contract, by the way. The Texans took on all the guarantees. Right. Then I would put Andre Johnson. And then I would put JJ, because JJ asks to be released.
Yeah. He
so asked. It's not like there's no. I mean, I think the Texans would have ended up moving JJ somehow or some way anyway. But JJ did ask for his release.
God, what you're saying about the novelty of scheming guys who have been with who are playing their former employer makes so much sense. And all I can think of is, great, the 6-0 team has yet another reason to get up for this game against the 1-5 team who's circling the drain. Oh my God.
Sean, I can remember it was one of my favorite things ever in when Gary Walker and I both came over from the Jaguars. And the first time we went to go play the Jaguars in Jacksonville, I can remember Jason Simmons, our defensive back, saying something, at halftime about how how much it would mean for, you know, Seth and Gary to beat these guys and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we ended up beating the Jaguars. We had kind of had the Jaguars number the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's just that's the kind of stuff that happens. Like guys take up for their other teammates. They know that there's some extra juice and they get amped up about it. So this team, as I read various articles about how J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins have helped change the culture of the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like these are the kinds of a 6-0 football team's not going to be complacent. They want to go in for these guys and get a win.
All right, where does this one stack up? Kareem Jackson went to the Denver Broncos following the 2018 season. Mind you, following a 2018 season, an off season in which he didn't even get an offer. 2018 was Kareem Jackson's best year as a pro, which didn't even warrant an offer from Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans. Yeah. Kareem Jackson comes back to NRG Stadium week 14 as a Denver Bronco in 2019, and this happened.
Here's the snap to Deshaun. Three-man rush, throws underneath, hits QT again, dives across the 30. The ball is down, and it's picked up by Denver, and it's a handoff to Kareem right side across the 35-40. Kareem on the run, the 50, the 40 of Houston right sideline, the 30, the 25, the 20, and Kareem's going to go all the way as he high steps into the end zone. Nobody can get him. A fumble, an exchange, and Kareem Jackson scores against the Texans.
Kareem Jackson was Defensive Player of the Week that week. If J.J. Watt is Defensive Player of the Week for Week 7, I'm going to put a bullet in my head following the game.
Didn't Kareem also almost murder DeAndre Hopkins?
He did. Yeah.
That was one of the sickest hits I've ever seen.
It was. He didn't get flagged either, I don't think, right?
I think it was a legal hit. Look, you know, nobody takes any of this stuff personally or anything, but I almost felt like that could have fractured a friendship right there.
Yes.
It was a clean and legal hit, but it was so, oh my gosh, it was so ugly. So that was a pretty big revenge meter game. The disrespect of not being offered a contract at all.
Huge, right?
Was it allayed at all by the fact that, let's see, well, they had to make a choice between Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson?
Yeah, and they've got neither. Yeah. Yeah, and they wound up with Eric Murray a year later. That's right.
Okay, I'm glad you brought Eric Murray into it. Okay, you didn't make an offer to Kareem Jackson. You brought in Eric Murray, a person who's owned media members in Cleveland didn't know who he was, even though he'd actually started some games for Cleveland, and paid him way more money than anybody's going to buy. Okay, that's a pretty big disrespect level. Yeah. I'd say that's higher than J.J., still not as high as DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, DeAndre is going to be hard to beat.
Of course, DeAndre was asking for an extension, whereas Kareem was just like, hey, I'm a free agent. Yep. Okay, I'm going to put Kareem, because of the Eric Murray dynamic and because they didn't even offer him a contract, Kareem was at a higher level of disrespect.
Okay, I like it. All right, last couple here, and we don't have highlights for these, but I think people are probably wondering, Jadeveon Clowney, he had a revenge. It took a year for Clowney to even meet the Texans because he went to Seattle. They didn't play each other that year. Week 6, 2020, Clowney was a Titan, played the Texans, didn't do much, 2 tackles, a TFL. So there's Clowney. Mario Williams is another one, Seth. Went to Buffalo following 2011. The two teams played in 2012. Mario actually had a pretty good game statistically. I don't remember much from that game, but they played in week 9 of that year. And he had 7 tackles, a sack, a couple TFLs. So Clowney, Mario. And then Dwayne Brown, people wondering. Dwayne Brown has not yet played the Texans. Week 14, though, this season, coming soon, Dwayne Brown, the first game against his former teammates.
Wow. That's right. Oh, you know what? Okay. I was going to say I'm surprised they haven't played, but I remember that trade was executed the week of within a week of the game.
Literally,
right?
The last game Dwayne Brown played for the Texans was against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
In 2017.
Makes sense that 4 years ago.
Yep.
Since you only play the other conference once every 4 years.
That's right. So there you go. So those are former Texans on the disrespecto meter. Andre Johnson and Kareem Jackson at the top of that list. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Astros lose last night 12-3 to the Boston Red Sox for yet another game in this series. It happened in game 1. Jose Altuve with a crucial error early in the game, opening the door to multiple Red Sox runs. He did it in game 1. He was able to atone for that with the 2-run home run in that game. Unfortunately, last night, not able to atone for it. Here's Dusty Baker on Jose Altuve.
You know, the throw bounced in front of him. You know what I mean? That wasn't a mistake by Altuve. You know, the ball didn't get there. And the other one was a very tough play because this is you know, the grass looks thick, but it plays very quick. And the ball bounced up on it. I mean, that was a tough play. I know we used to seeing him make those plays, but that was a tough play. And, you know, thank the ball's bouncing right for them. It's not bouncing right for us. And, you know, that was a big play. But, I mean, like I said, that ball hopped up on him. And that's a ball you don't know which way to turn your glove, up or down.
All right, so
yeah, that and the second one he was talking about was when Maldonado tried to pick off the runner at second, and the ball bounced again, and Altuve didn't quite handle it. I hesitate to even discuss this, except I'm not a worried to, because these are not throwing errors. I think if people were worried about using any other kind of word to describe it, the word that shall not be mentioned, that wasn't the nature of it. These were both like relatively difficult plays to make, but especially the first one that bounced. I think it was Joe Buck or was it what's his name that
Smoltz
that mentioned Smoltz. I think it was Smoltz that mentioned Altuve's height.
Probably Smoltz
was a little bit, yeah, like he wasn't putting him down as a short joke or anything. He was saying because the ball bounced high, it caught Altuve right in the chest,
in
where
the sternum.
It's almost like Altuve had his glove turned down, ready to field it, and it bounced up too high, and he couldn't get to it. So I was okay with that. And I also like the fact that Dusty mentioned the speed of the infield, because it reminded me that Showalter last week did make at least one relevant point in the baseball game. He repeated it like 47 times, because it was the only thing he knew about that baseball game was that the Minute Maid Park, or no, that was the Minute Maid Park infield, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this wasn't even, yeah, but the infield being fast in Minute Maid Park was relevant on that day. Today it was relevant that Fenway was slick.
Well, Showalter probably made the point by saying, back in my day when the infields were slower and not fast like these infields, it was way better. Baseball was much, much better back then.
Oh, okay. Have you thought this at all, though, in this series? Because Jim Catt was the one that wouldn't shut up at all about the shift. He kept complaining about the shift. Every time that something hit the gap in the shift, he would complain about it.
Well, if they weren't shifted, that would have been a double play ball.
When it worked, he would never mention it, of course.
Right.
But I do feel that either the Astros have been unlucky with the shift this series, or the Red Sox nerds are just better than the Astros nerds.
Maybe.
Somehow. Nobody ever talks about this, Sean.
Yeah.
Like, okay, people get into these discussions about whether or not you should use analytics, whereas everybody's using analytics. I need to know who has the smartest nerds. Have the Astros lost some of their smartest nerds over the last few years? Because the shift has not been nearly as effective or suffocating as I would like it to be this series.
Seth, they've given up 21 runs in the last two
games. Sean,
the shift?
I know the shift doesn't account for the multiple walks by Urquidy, the multiple home runs / grand slams. And yet, I feel like somehow, Sean, in the early goings, that it could have a little bit of, I don't
know.
You're mad. Framber had a lot of bloop singles before his
You're mad that the Astros shift doesn't entail Michael Brantley climbing the ladder and standing on top of the Green Monster trying to play goalie for all of these home runs that are getting
I'm just saying, look, Sean, it's one part of it, okay?
Yeah,
there's never one element leads to a lost baseball game.
Hey.
Don't be one of these people that's like, that's not fixing baseball. That one change isn't going to fix baseball.
You're the stat nerd. I'll leave it up
to
you.
I like the shift.
I know.
That's the thing. I'm not being anti-shift.
Right.
I honestly would prefer that they outlawed the shift and just made everybody play standard positions. Yeah. But as long as it's legal, I think you should be using the shift, but be better than the other team at doing it. We're being out-nerded. We cannot be out-nerded by a bunch of Massachusettsians.
No, that's true. Yeah, a bunch of massholes, as we like to call them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But a bunch of people corrected me on the text page. Sean, it was Schwarber who hit the grand slam last night, not J.D. Martinez. Oh, that's right. J.D. Martinez hit a home run later in the game that wasn't a grand slam. He hit a grand slam in game two.
Pathetic.
I'm getting my grand slams mixed up in this series. That's how many there been. I'm getting them mixed up in this series. All right, Kirby Icehouse.
They don't even bother with a laundry cart if you don't hit a grand slam anymore.
That's
They're
right.
They're like, no, laundry carts for grand slams only.
Old news. That's right.
Yeah.
Join us at Kirby Icehouse this afternoon. Clint Sterner and the show will be out there. East Side between Richmond and Alabama. The season now rests on the arm of Zach Greinke. Brandon Scott, our colleague here at 610, tried to get the nuke codes from Greinke last night. You'll want to hear this bit of audio, and we'll get you ready for a Greinke opener tonight next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.